Good morning, everyone. So, as I'm sure most people in this room know, syphilis is a sexually transmitted infection caused by the spirochete bacterium Treponema pallidum. If left untreated, syphilis can lead to serious complications, including neurologic, ocular, and cardiovascular complications. In the United States, the national rate of reported primary and secondary, or PNS syphilis, has risen dramatically over the last 15 years. After reaching an all-time low in 2000 and 2001, the national PNS syphilis rate has more than tripled by 2015. And as you can see from this figure, that increase is mostly attributable to increases among males. And more specifically, the increase has been mostly attributable to increases among men who have sex with men, or MSM. In 2015, 90% of all PNS syphilis cases were male, and 60% of all cases were known to be among MSM. These increases in syphilis are especially concerning given the biologic and epidemiologic associations between syphilis and HIV infection. Early syphilitic infection may facilitate transmission and acquisition of HIV infection. And in addition, the populations disproportionately affected by HIV, including MSM and certain race ethnicity groups, also are similar to the populations at increased risk of syphilis infection. And several reports from local health departments have documented a high prevalence of HIV co-infection among their among men and MSM with PNS syphilis. So we set out to look at national surveillance data to describe the proportion of PNS syphilis cases co-infected with HIV in the United States, both overall and by demographic group, as well as by sex and sex of sex partner. PNS syphilis case report data were extracted from the National Case Report Surveillance Database at CDC. And case report data generally include demographic information such as sex, race, ethnicity, and age. But they can also include additional information for cases that are interviewed and investigated by the local health department. And for those cases, additional risk factor information like sex of sex partner and HIV status would be included. The proportion of PNS syphilis cases with HIV co-infection was calculated using cases with known HIV status as the denominator. And HIV status was obtained based on self-report, most recent HIV test, or other records available to the local health department. And for the purposes of this analysis, men who have sex with men or MSM were defined as male cases that reported any male sexual partner in the last 12 months. And men who have sex with women only, or MSW, were defined as male cases that reported only female sex partners in the last 12 months. So here are the results. In 2015, there were 23,872 cases of PNS syphilis in the United States reported to us. Of those, 15,742 were reported with a known HIV status, and that's about two-thirds of all reported cases. Among cases with known HIV status, 41% were co-infected with HIV. The proportion of cases with HIV co-infection was higher among male cases at 45% compared with female cases at 4%. But you can see that this is primarily attributable to the high prevalence among MSM. Among male cases with known sex of sex partner, the prevalence of HIV co-infection was higher among MSM at 49% compared with the prevalence among MSW at 10%. When examined by region, the prevalence of HIV co-infection was higher among cases in the Northeast than cases in the West, Midwest, or South. But you can see that similar patterns among MSM, MSW, and women were seen across regions, and the prevalence of HIV co-infection in all regions is driven by the high number of cases among MSM and the high prevalence of HIV co-infection among MSM. When examined by race ethnicity group, the proportion with co-infection was highest among non-Hispanic blacks and lowest among American Indians, Alaska Natives. But again, the same pattern between MSM, MSW, and women were observed across race ethnicity groups. Overall, the prevalence of co-infection increased with increasing age, from 12 to 14% among those younger than age 20, to 54 to 56% among those in their 40s. And then the rate, the prevalence of co-infection among those aged 50 or older was a little bit lower than those in their 40s. And the same pattern of increasing prevalence with age was observed among both MSM and MSW. It was not quite observed in women, although that may be a lower numbers issue. So this slide is very complicated, and I'm going to walk you through it. This shows MSM cases and their HIV status stratified by race, ethnicity, and age group. So the total height of each bar represents the total number of MSM cases in that race, ethnicity, and age group. And the colors within the bar represent the HIV status. And then the percent within the bar represents the prevalence of HIV co-infection among those with known HIV status. So first I want to call your attention to the height of the bars and note that the race and ethnicity and age groups with the highest number of cases and the highest number of HIV co-infected cases was among young black MSM in their 20s and also among older white MSM aged 50 or older. Next, I would note that for all race ethnicity groups, the same pattern of prevalence across age groups is very similar, and just like I showed you on the previous slide, the prevalence of co-infection generally increases as age increases, peaks around in the early 40s, and then declines a little bit at 45 or 50. And next for, and then finally for, I want to point out that for every age group represented here, the prevalence of HIV co-infection was highest among black MSM compared with Hispanic MSM or white MSM. So among black MSM, the prevalence ranged from 28% among those 15 to 19 years old to 82% among those aged 40 to 44 years old. So these findings are subject to the usual caveats and limitations of surveillance data, and this analysis was based on reported cases of PNS syphilis, and so owing to under-ascertainment or under-diagnosis and under-reporting to health departments, the reported cases likely underestimates the true burden of PNS syphilis in the country. In addition, a substantial proportion of reported cases were reported with incomplete data on HIV status or sex of sex partner or both. And because this analysis, we calculated HIV prevalence based on those 66% of cases reported with known HIV status, it's possible that the true prevalence of HIV co-infection differs from that reported here. However, if we do a sensitivity analysis and assume all those with unknown HIV status were actually HIV negative, even at that lower bound, the prevalence of HIV co-infection among syphilis cases is incredibly much higher than the general population. And lastly, some misclassification of MSM and MSW status is certainly possible based on information provided to the health department. So these findings highlight that in 2015, a considerable proportion of syphilis transmission occurred among persons living with HIV, and especially among MSM living with HIV. Our findings indicate that improved identification and treatment of syphilis among those living with HIV will be critical for syphilis control in the country. And they support the current national recommendations that all sexually active persons living with HIV should be tested for curable STDs, including syphilis, at least annually. In addition, these findings indicate that PNS syphilis is very likely a marker of condomless sexual activity within a sexual network with a high prevalence of HIV infection. Therefore, a diagnosis of PNS syphilis represents a public health and clinical opportunity to identify undiagnosed HIV infections, link persons with diagnosed HIV to HIV care and treatment services, and also to potentially prevent future HIV infection among those who are currently HIV negative. So given the high prevalence of HIV among PNS syphilis cases, all persons diagnosed with PNS syphilis should be screened for HIV if they are not already known to be living with HIV. For persons who have newly diagnosed HIV or who have been previously diagnosed with HIV but are not currently engaged in care, A diagnosis of PNS syphilis is an opportunity to identify these individuals and ensure they are linked to appropriate services. And finally, for persons who are currently HIV negative, these individuals should be evaluated for ongoing risk of HIV, and if appropriate, should be targeted for HIV prevention services and considered as possible candidates for pre-exposure prophylaxis or PrEP. And just to highlight, the current recommendations for PrEP is that PrEP is recommended for those at risk of HIV infection, and that includes specifically MSM diagnosed with an STD in the past 6 months, and heterosexuals who don't regularly use condoms with partners of unknown HIV status who are at substantial risk of HIV infection. So I think a diagnosis of PNS syphilis certainly is a good way of capturing these individuals who might benefit from PrEP. Thank you.
All right. Next we have Mark Stanger, also from the Centers for Disease Control.